Stick around to the end of the podcast. We always like to tell you this because a lot of times people listen to like half of it and then get caught up in life and miss a lot of really great stuff. We have a cool interview with one of our favorite people, Aaron Watson, talking all about the Red Bandana album coming up right after the closing jingle of the podcast. So again, stick around for that. It's a good 20-minute conversation about life, music, and everything.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their minds, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
The podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. I just had to go get a light bulb for my taillight. My blinker wasn't working.
A light bulb?
A light bulb. So go ahead and get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
What also floats in water?
Bread. Apples.
Very small rocks.
Cider.
A great gravy.
Cherries.
Mud.
Churches.
Lead.
Lead.
A duck.
Exactly.
I got churches
to go.
In
I got to go, man. Like, I was there. So this is our first podcast since returning from vacation. And part of our vacation was spent on a castle tour for Outlander fans. For my wife and daughter, so they can go and see all the places they filmed the series. And part of it was one of the castles that they use just happened to be the same castle that was used throughout Monty Python and the Holy Grail. It was Camelot and all the other castles as well. But it was cool because the guided tour, you know, a lot of places you go for tours and you have the little lanyard you put around your neck, and it says, you know, whenever you go up to certain things, it's like press 18 and they'll tell you a little story about what you're seeing, and you get the headphones and everything. Well, it was Terry Jones from Monty Python who was doing the narration. That was the coolest, dude. I was there.
You're such a nerd.
I was at Camelot.
I would have been
and
a nerd.
And there was a kid who had coconuts. And so I got to borrow the kid's coconuts. It was really a weird thing. Can I borrow your coconut, kid? But anyway, so I had the two halves of the coconuts, and I was like, to do the horse. It was great. I got to live out a fantasy.
I mean, is that really a fantasy?
No. But it's kind of a cool thing.
Hey, people have some weird fantasies.
they do.
I would like to be dressed up as King Arthur.
I am King Arthur.
King of the Britons.
I am a LARPer. Anyway, vacation was fantastic. We did the it's interesting because we did the London trip, we did Paris, and then we went to the Peak District, hung out with British Rob, who you as a listener of the podcast will know as this guy.
Let's bing it, boys.
And also designer of the fabulous 17 logo.
That's right.
So big shout out to him. And so he and I hung out along with Naomi, and we just had the best time doing a little pub crawl, and it was fun. Then we went to Scotland and saw a bunch of castles and Scotlandy things, and it was great. I had my ATM card, my debit card hacked at one point of the trip. Lost luggage because Delta just completely... I don't even know where to begin, and I'm not even going to get into that part because it was crazy, but I had like a two-day battle on Twitter with Delta as we were trying to get our luggage back. I was just trying to get my wife and daughter into a hotel, and they were not complying at all.
That was a mess.
A lot of misleading and a lot of, oh no, 30 minutes more, sir.
Just lying to you.
Yeah, I would rather somebody just tell me, look, we lost your bag. Go check into your hotel. Get a good night's sleep. I know you've been awake for 27 hours now, but...
Do you think they were lying or they were just dumb?
I'll tell you, I think it was, you know, they had a whole bunch of cancellations that day. And I think what happened is that somebody said, don't say anything negative. So just tell them, oh, yeah, 30 more minutes, 30, so that whoever it was, whoever was in charge, which I don't know who it was, because when I asked who was in charge, they said, nope, no one here that's in charge. I said, there's no manager? No, there's no manager. So there's no one in charge? No, sir. Well, why don't you call a manager so they can come and fix this mess? Oh, no, we can't call them. I'm like, okay. So I was getting lied to again. But I got managed, where they sit there and they basically push you off 30. It's like kicking a can down the road. Eventually, you're going to have to pay the penalty. And they did. You know, they got me on a plane and they got me out of their way. So, yeah. Anyway.
We're glad you're back.
Thank you. I'm glad you're back. Hi, Carson.
Hi.
You cold?
Did Delta pay reparations?
No, because Delta did not.
You're missing that boat, bro.
No, I would like to. I tweet them every day. I have a whole series of Dear at Delta tweets that I've been doing. And every day for possibly the rest of my life, I am going to be tweeting them with some kind of little story. Because let me tell you know, it was interesting. When I was like 4 or 5 years old, our house burned down. I know I've told that story before. So our house burned down. That next summer, we went to Disneyland with my whole family. We all went and visited Grandma and everything like that. So I'm flying from New Orleans to Los Angeles on a Delta flight. I'm 5 years old or whatever. And I was drawing on the napkins, you know, just, you know, how your parents give you stuff and they try to keep you busy. And I was drawing the Delta logo, and the lady, they called them stewardesses back then. She comes up and she's like, "Oh, what, you like Delta?" I was like, "Yeah, I want to be a pilot one day." And she's like, "Oh, okay." Well, apparently she told the co-pilot, who then came back, and he's like, "Oh, you want to be a pilot, son?" Like, yeah. He said, "Come on into the cockpit." This is back before 9/11, and they would invite people into the cockpits. So here I am, this five-year-old kid, and they let me go sit in the co-pilot seat in the front of the airplane, and they gave me the hat to put on. They gave me little plastic Delta wings and everything like that.
I wish I had a picture of that.
Yeah, I do, too. I do, too. But, I mean, nobody had cell phones back then.
I meant to make fun of you as well.
Oh, no. It was the best thing. It's one of my favorite memories of all time, because it was one of those things that really put my love for aviation cemented into my soul, and, you know, eventually becoming a pilot and all that kind of stuff. I put a lot of that back on that day where I got to sit in the front of the airplane and hold the yoke, and, you know, it was just the coolest thing ever. Anyway.
Cemented into your
soul.
So,
back to...
Well, that's what I was going to say. So then, you know, so Delta did this wonderful thing for me when I was five, and then they did this horrible thing to my wife and my daughter, making them sleep on the floor of a baggage claim center. It was terrible, man. But no, they didn't give me anything. Nothing. Had to spend almost $300 because it's really hard to find a hotel in New York City last minute. Mm-hmm. Then you had, you know, $60 to take a cab from one airport to the other. I have all my receipts.
Are you one of the people who's just going to give up and lie down and take it?
No. I'm trying to figure out what my next step is.
I mean, you know you have a Patrick.
I'm not offering. I'm just saying.
I'm offering him. You have a Patrick.
I really don't know why you don't just sick Patrick on.
Yeah, we have a Patrick.
Somebody call Delta and scare the crap out of them for you?
Man, they've had so much drama here in the last couple days.
Seriously.
Everyone's too nice.
Most people are
it's you.
Nice. No, Bubba's always kind of, you know.
Yeah, he's a
yeah,
little.
Yeah, I mean, no. I don't know. We probably should. No,
he's
man.
About to tell us how they're having
I would have let
I'm
them.
I'm sorry. Is your billion-dollar company having a hard time?
I would have completely let them get away with this if it was just me. If it was just me flying, I would have never complained about it. But the fact that they, by keeping me going, I couldn't leave the airport to go check my wife and daughter into the hotel. Because if I did, I would never have gotten my luggage back. They kept telling me 30 minutes, 30 minutes, 30 minutes. So they couldn't leave because the hotel was under my name and my card. I had to beat. It was just the whole thing was stupid.
Who can identify this song?
Monty Python.
Monty Python.
And the Holy Grail.
He played it. How about this one?
What is that one?
Monty Python. Faster.
And Airwolf.
Oh,
that was Airwolf. How about?
We're getting a little close.
Nobody even knows Airwolf, dude.
I know.
You're right.
Do you know? Do you guys know that one? Na 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 na.
The Waltons.
Yeah.
Man, that's like TV my parents would watch.
Yeah. You guys remember? My dad used to watch the. I think it was on NBC. I forget the Sunday night movie, and it was like it was a big deal. Oh, they showed a movie on TV. You remember that? Like it was they did it once a week on a Sunday night, and they called it the Sunday night movie, and it had this thing that played beforehand, like a big, you know, digitized.
It's like a marquee opening.
Yes, yes, yeah. That's right.
Well, HBO used to do it too. Oh, do they really?
Yeah, if you watch their feature presentations on Saturday night when they get that new movie, that whole thing goes on for a good 2 minutes, because anytime I DVR it, it's like, just fast forward.
Do they do it
keep
like
fast forwarding?
Is it the old one when it goes through the city?
Yeah, I was gonna say, like that little
similar
town, they go through neighborhoods
they have
and
people
stuff.
Sitting on the couch, and then you're passing through a window and looking at other neighbors' windows. Yeah, it's like an updated one, but it goes on for a long time.
And then it circles around the HBO logo.
Yeah. Then it comes up.
Do you ever see how they did that? They actually literally built a miniature little town, little
street.
And they
did a camera flying through?
Yeah, and they had the camera come down through. Yeah, it was really neat.
It was like Lucasfilm.
Yes. Took them forever to do.
Industrial Light and Magic doing their stuff.
Yeah. HBO, man, when HBO came out, that was, I mean, we didn't have anything like that. To watch a movie at your house?
They were the Netflix of our day.
Yeah. Well, now, was HBO before VHS tapes?
I think they were all kind of in the same.
They seem like they were all around the same time. But VHS, remember, back in the day, you couldn't buy movies because they were like $300. VHS tapes were super expensive. And so I remember my parents would tape everything. HBO ran movies. They would tape what?
We used to do that too.
I was just saying, yeah, we used to have the double VCR set up. One feeding into the other one. And
yeah, when you rented them.
Oh, yeah. You weren't not supposed to tape movies you rented. But
so it was pretty close. Sorry to interrupt you guys, but 1980 was when HBO came out. And Blockbuster Video came out in 1985. So
We had like Magic Video and Danny's Video.
Family Video.
Mm-hmm, yeah. We went by my old video store. My brother and I went to my hometown last weekend. And we went by where it used to be Cheshire Video and Disc, which is now a Cleaners. And we were like, oh, that's where we... Because, you know, when you were a kid, you'd go in there every Friday night.
Yep.
And what could your parents, what could you convince them to let you rent?
Remember you used to walk by, you try to go look by yourself, you know, around the videos, and you find yourself in that back area where they had the sheet across the door, because that's where they had the naughty movies.
The beads.
And you try.
I think Cheshire Video and Disc had the beads.
And you kind of try and look in there. And you always like see somebody from church.
James Vanderbeek was in there?
I saw James Vanderbeek's dad in there. No, I didn't. That's a lie. But it's still funny.
Movie gallery.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at all these old stuff. Radio Shack.
Radio Shack did not do movies.
No, I'm just looking at old things.
Oh, what are you looking at?
R.I.P.
The Stranger
Bob.
Things Mall.
Yeah.
The mall at Stranger Things
Starcourt.
Is pretty great. Yeah.
Starcourt.
Because it's pretty much all of our malls. I mean, they did a really good job of making it period correct. And
well, it's a real mall.
Yeah.
Is it a real mall?
It's in,
but they redid it to make it.
Yeah, they built
80s-ish.
Sets.
Was it a closed mall? Like
no,
one that
they said it was open. There were regular people walking around.
They had a section. Like it was it wasn't like.
So they
it
took over the food court?
It wasn't like a real successful mall. Yeah. There was a lot of closures. And so they kind of just paid the mall to have, you know, from here over or whatever, and then they rebuilt it.
And now people are showing up,
yeah,
trying to take their pictures, and the mall is turning them away.
Really?
And they're tearing it down.
Tearing down the sets.
They're tearing down the sets, yeah. Aww. So you can't get your picture at Sam Goody. Boo.
Oh, no. Boo.
Or Scoops Ahoy.
We obviously talked about this before.
What would be smart, though, is to basically sell those sets. You know, wouldn't it be cool, like, because I think collectors, somebody would buy that, and they would try to buy, like, three or four of the storefronts and build their own little star court at their house. Because you got all the people that are, like, the Trekkies, who all have the, you know, the Enterprise
the
built
bridge,
at their house and that kind of stuff. I think they're missing a huge opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I say you take it even a step further, where you have those companies in operation, where you have Orange Julius, and it's open. And you just have like a little small area.
Barbara Streisand.
People would go in there and do that.
People would go back to malls if they started doing retro stuff.
If they did retro stuff. And don't do the whole mall. You do like the little
section.
The little section, like the small, you know, you go in, you know, like the center court. And they're all the things around it. You just, that's the part, that's about that size.
So you start marketing the star court. Mm-hmm. And then that becomes the retro stores, that kind of stuff. Because they do have retro store stuff like you can buy things like, you know, the old time candy and all that kind of thing, but like you do a Claire's with the old Claire's thing, you do the Gap with the red logo,
well,
like
even
they
a
showed
Sam Goody, because you have some, you know, I know people aren't buying obviously tapes or CDs and stuff anymore.
Who owns Sam Goody?
I don't know, but you could have, you know, Hot Topic has all the old band T-shirts. You could sell stuff like that at a Sam Goody.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or Funko.
I'm looking at all the stores there. Walden Books, Radio Shack, yes. Sam Goody, Claire's, Wicks and Sticks. What is Wicks and Sticks? Candles?
It's got to be candles, right?
Kaufman Shoes. I didn't remember Kaufman Shoes from the... and then there are some that are still around. Gap, Zales, Ground Round.
I feel like Kaufman might have been just for the show because wasn't that one of the clues?
I don't know.
Kaufman I'm not. I'm trying not to give away two spoilers.
Because I don't. I don't know everything. I'm only on episode 5.
Oh, no, Kaufman Shoes is a thing.
Through. Oh, okay.
No, it's a
same.
Thing.
I guess I'd never heard of it either. I thought it was manufactured.
What about the little silver cat thing? Mm-hmm. Is that real? I don't remember them.
Silver cat. Thing.
The delivery company.
I don't
remember how.
Yeah, I don't think that's real, okay. But I don't know.
Oh, so that's one of the little made up deals.
Sam Goody is owned by, got bought by Best Buy, but then they just kind of, and all of those.
FYE is who they are. They converted all the rest of those into FYEs.
Where do you even get an FYE anymore? That's the thing. It's hard to find those.
I don't know.
I'm looking at the pictures now online of when they completely blocked off the upstairs space entrance. At the mall, completely blocked off when they were filming it.
So we used to go to the Acadiana Mall when we were kids, and they had a Sam Goody and a Musicland, even though they're owned by the same corporation, on opposite ends of the mall. And I remember we would hang out at Musicland because we all had a crush on the girl that worked there.
Oh, the record store girls.
Oh, we were all like 14, and she was like...
Was she a rocker chick?
Oh, yeah. She was like 20.
With the big, really, the big blonde hair.
No,
all...
she had like real tight, curly hair. Like, you know, the little tiny curl. Oh, man, I don't know. I don't remember her name.
Every record store had
one
girl.
We were all in love with her. Yeah.
Was there a record store guy for the girls?
Have you met record store guys? No.
It's not the same attraction.
Oh, no. It's always an old dude with a ponytail and a tie-dyed shirt that's burning incense. No. No, it's somebody who...
Or real big nerds.
Such nerds.
Like high fidelity.
Yes, exactly. It's high fidelity.
You can take... there are people who are taking pictures of... it's the Gwinnett Place Mall in Gwinnett, Georgia. There are people who are going there and showing up, but it doesn't have the Star Court sign or any of that kind of stuff on it. I guess they just did that.
So is this thing, and I just want to mention this because I do know that eventually I'm going to catch up with the rest of you guys and I will be able to openly have Stranger Things discussions with you. Is it as good as season one? Because there's so many people I've heard say it's better. Then there's other people that are saying, well, it's definitely better than season two.
Better than two, for sure.
Because so far, it's really
not
good.
Better than one.
Yeah, I'm not. The problem is I haven't watched one in a long time. And I'm trying to remember. I think I like it better, but a lot of it is, I hate to say, it's the mall nostalgia. That I think I love that it's set in a mall. And I think that's why I really, really love it. And... oh, I can't. There's so much I can't say because you haven't gotten to these episodes yet.
Okay, so
there
I'll tell you where
so
I fell apart.
There are so many amazing references, and I know it's all pop culture and 80s and stuff, but that's obviously my wheelhouse. That, oh, the scene with Dustin, and Dee knows what I'm talking about, and the song, and
I have no idea what you're talking about.
They were singing because Dustin was trying to get something, so he had to sing.
I don't remember.
It was like the big pivotal moment at the end.
I don't know my
at
kids'
the end?
Birthdays. I don't remember.
Yes, it's at
okay,
the end.
Because I'm at the point
end.
Where
yeah,
they
yeah,
were.
Yes, thank you. And that, oh,
they're
my,
in the
I was
underground
texting
thing.
Everybody that I knew because so many of us are obsessed with that song and where it's from. And I was like, oh my gosh, have you watched episode 8 yet? No, none of them have.
Okay, so I'm at where they were in the underground thing and
hate
they're,
being veiled,
they're
Bubba.
Running around. I know, it's horrible. Can you believe?
By you were the way, on a plane. You could have watched the whole thing.
I couldn't because I was on a plane dealing with trying to tweet Delta to find out where my
no,
luggage was.
You were on
was.
A plane on the other side of the pond.
Yeah.
You could have watched it coming over.
I was editing a video. I had, no kidding, Stacy took. She took about 2.5 hours worth of video that mm-hmm. she wanted me to chop down to about 30 minutes. And I'm still not there. I'm down to about 60 minutes and a couple seconds here and there. But yeah, I'm trying to chop this down because she wants the whole family to come over and watch the European Vacation video with everything we saw and, you know, ate and did and all that kind of stuff. So, no, I've been very busy.
Mm-hmm.
I sent you the behind-the-scenes video of somebody went into the mall when they still had the stuff set up. Everything's up. And they would just walk through and you can see, like, it's the mall, but it's closed.
That's amazing.
You see all the StarCourt signs and all that. Chips or not.
Scoops Ahoy.
Scoops Ahoy's in there and all that. Yeah. You did see that you can buy USS, what is that? What was the flavor of the ice cream?
They have three special flavors at Baskin-Robbins.
At Baskin-Robbins.
Yeah. Well, you know, Baskin-Robbins also is where everybody got the Morse code. Because it was on the Baskin-Robbins cups or something. That's where, because Stranger Things, we were talking about this on the show the other day. The phone number, you call Murray's phone number and it leads you on this whole path and whatever.
Yeah.
And I guess Baskin-Robbins had a Morse code thing going on too.
Oh, wow. I was about to call dibs on the Scoops Ahoy costume for Halloween. They're already all over the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was thinking I would be original by going, I'm going to be Steve.
Okay.
No, they're everywhere. I'm looking right now. Like, there's 15 different costume places online that all have Scoops Ahoy costumes.
I know. I need to get a boyfriend so we can do, so we can be Steve and Robin.
I just realized today is Alexi Day. Today is.
Well, it is. It's not.
It's you can get free Slurpees at 7-Eleven today?
It's hashtag free Slurpee Day.
Oh, that's nice.
I tweeted out a gif of Alexi.
Did you?
That's all I can say because Bubba isn't watching the show. So yes.
Yeah. So in the show, one of the Russian guys, he has a Slurpee.
Yeah.
And so 7-Eleven, are they also a sponsor?
I felt like they had to be.
Well,
because the loss went down at 7-Eleven.
The 7-Eleven is where they had the car that they stole.
Yeah.
See, I got past that part.
Okay.
So there is some of that.
Yeah,
but is it all 7-Elevens today? You get free Slurpees?
I think so.
And the guy was in the back of the car. The Russian guy was in the back
Alexi.
Of the car.
Yep.
Is that
Smirnoff?
Okay. Yeah, they were calling him Smirnoff at that time. But he's in the back and he's sitting there sucking up on his Slurpee.
Yeah.
Free Slurpee.
Dude, my crush on Hopper is just getting more and more. Like, I was going through his Instagram yesterday.
Really? And just, I'm sitting there this whole season going, what is up with Hopper? They're trying to make him unlikable.
Angry. I know. Everybody said he's so angry, but I don't care. He's still, that's like my ideal dude right there.
Okay, so I found it so today, July 11th, you can get free Slurpees at 7-Elevens. It's good from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. No strings attached.
Why not from 7 to 11? That's a fail.
That is a fail. I guess they didn't want to have that many. That's a longer time.
Yeah. Big whoop. It's in your name.
So anyway, they're giving away. Do you know that Slurpee wasn't called a Slurpee?
What was it called?
It was under a different name called...
Brain Freezy.
Well, golly, I hate when they do that
sugar?
And I can't find it. What the heck? Icy?
Is it an Icy? Yeah.
They wanted to rebrand Icy original name, and thus Slurpee was born. I don't know. Anyway, you can get you a free Slurpee.
USS Butterscotch. Is that part of it that's going to come into play later?
Yeah. You probably already got to that, I would have thought.
Yeah, I mean,
It's one of the flavors that they sell. But Baskin-Robbins is doing three.
It might have flown over my head.
Because you can't spell America without Erica.
Can't spell America without Erica.
I saw that
part. So, yeah, she gets like the Sundays and stuff. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, you've been there.
So is Erica going to be the new star of next season?
I hope not.
Because they like really made her a big deal.
It was just, I just felt that she, I don't know, I kind of liked her more in a sprinkled in capacity. I liked what they did with the character, but... I don't know that we need like all Erica next season.
It's a little much.
Yeah.
Her character's a little harsh.
By the way, I really feel bad for anybody who's listening to the podcast and doesn't watch Stranger Things because like Patrick walked away. He's like, I don't know what they're talking about, so I'm just going to leave. So I apologize.
And you know what'll happen? In like 5 years, Patrick will decide to watch Stranger Things like he did with Game of Thrones.
And then you're going to have to come back and revisit the podcast.
Oh, don't give me any spoilers. I may watch it. You know?
I might one day.
This is my favorite part of Game of Thrones, Patrick. I haven't gotten caught up yet. Well, you have had 10 years.
So if you guys could bring something back.
I went to Winterfell. I went to Winterfell. Okay, go on.
If you guys could bring something back from the 1980s, a product, what would it be that you could get today?
Man, I'm going to have to go with my old Christian Hosoi skateboard. I loved, back then, skateboards had shapes. You know, now they all look like Band-Aids. And they're just kind of shapeless.
They like used to be old, really thin back in the day, weren't they?
I want the, no, not then. No, they were big and wide, you know, they're big pool pigs. But they had shape and, you know, the hammerhead and all that kind of stuff. You can look up 80s skateboard shapes. You'll see. And then if you look at now, our skateboards don't have shapes. Hmm. And I would bring that back because I feel like that's something that's kind of lost. Hmm. Like you care. Okay, what would you bring back?
Salon selectives.
What?
I'm looking at 80s products. Dep.
Yeah, gel.
I remember Dep
gel.
It was gel. Dude, I miss Outrageous. That was a great shampoo and conditioner.
There was a Dep that had it had glitter or something in it that made your hair whatever. Well, I in a hurry one morning, I grabbed my sister's gel and it had that gold sparkly stuff in it. And I'm like, I wasn't thinking. I'm like, junior high, I put that stuff in and I go to school and then I have football practice after school. And that Dep gel was dripping down into my eyes and burning my eyes. I had these yellow streaks of, you know, glitter.
Yeah.
It was the worst ever. And I never used it again.
Like, I just want all 80s fashion to come back. And I want that. I would just love everything. But I was talking about this the other day. I miss boppers.
What is boppers?
Boppers were, General Mills made them, and they were, it was like you could get peanut butter boppers. It was a log of peanut butter encrusted with, it depended on the flavor you got, and it might be chocolate chips, it could be maybe oats or something, but every time I watch Lost Boys, when Grandpa opens the fridge at the end, there's like barely anything in the fridge, I think he grabs a beer, but there's a box of boppers. And I want boppers back. They were the best snack/treat. They were so good.
I don't remember that.
I know. A lot of people don't. But when it comes to food, you're talking to an elephant.
But Bub, I'm sending you the...
Pamela says, oh my gosh, boppers. I miss them. So you're not
here's
alone.
The, yeah. Here, Bub, I'm sending you the boppers commercial. You can play the boppers commercial for everyone. I think we're safe now. It's been...
We're not going to get sued.
Yeah, I researched it, and General Mills is like, we have a great make-your-own recipe on our website. No, what? If people are searching for boppers, maybe y'all should make them.
You don't want to make your own.
No. Yeah.
All right. Let me turn this up. I didn't want to have that weird echo because of the stream. So here, we'll make it big, and there we go.
This creamy peanut butter's gone. Boppers! Gone crazy with chips. And all rolled up and crisp. There's creamy peanut butter, a crispy coating, and a whole lot more. Peanut butter's gone boppers. Peanut butter boppers. New from Nature Valley. What a snack.
That looks amazing, actually.
It really was. I love that somebody described it as sort of a granola-type bar with a peanut butter tunnel in the middle. That's exactly what it was.
Peanut butter tunnel.
That's what it was.
Do you guys remember the disc cameras that came out?
Yeah, like the Kodak disc?
Yep.
Yeah.
I had one of those.
I did, too. Had that. Just looking at some of the other ones. The crimper iron thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They'll put the waves in your hair.
Don't they still have those?
They do. And you know what? They don't work. The problem is, because they're all pretty cheap. Like, you just get them at the drugstore or something. And I've tried them because, again, anything 80s, I'm all about. It doesn't hold. It comes out and your hair just looks weird. It does. You just kind of fry it. It looks like, ooh.
Did you ever use Sun-In?
I didn't because I had blonde hair. But I knew people that did, and it really didn't do anything.
These are so
It
funny.
Kind of would turn your hair orangish.
Dippity Doo styling gel, Aquanet, all kinds
Still,
of stuff.
Yeah,
the show's really great. Just if you are an 80s fan, you like kind of that retro stuff like Carson does. There is so, it's just packed with stuff in there.
So many references.
Oh,
so
gosh.
Many.
Gosh. And then not just in the products, but in the characters.
Yeah.
You know, that that are like the Russian who is supposed to look like the Terminator.
I don't get how you said on the show that Hopper they're trying to make look like Magnum PI.
Yeah.
I don't see. Maybe just because of the shirt
they
and the mustache.
They put a Hawaiian shirt on.
Yeah. And he talked about how he watches it. You know, he turns it on. When he gets back and he's, you know, from the date or whatever.
Yeah.
Or that didn't happen.
That didn't happen.
Yeah. And he's drinking a beer and turned on Magnum PI.
Yeah. It was so, so great. It is. He's so great. I can't talk anymore about him because Bubba hasn't watched it.
Talk about him, but you just have to be cryptic.
Yeah, there's no way to be cryptic to talk about it. So
really?
No. No. So anyway, we'll just wait on Bubba to edit videos.
I told you, I'm halfway through episode 5 right now.
Mm. So you're almost done. There's only
they've already done the thing at the hospital and all that kind of stuff. So
oh yeah, you're on the downhill.
You should see me. I thought the episodes were coming out at midnight on July 4th, but it turns out they were doing it like by time zone. So it didn't mean that, you know, they didn't do midnight Eastern time. It was midnight Pacific. And so I'm staying up and then I'm like, oh, it's not on yet. So I set my alarm early to be able to get up and watch it. And I did. That's all I did.
So you got up at what time?
I think I set my alarm for like 5:30. And I got up and I was going to a picnic. So
You're
I was like,
a freak.
Oh, my God. So I had to. I was like, look, I'm bringing Rice Krispie Treats. I'm going to make those first. And so I made the Rice Krispie Treats. I got the dog out for a walk. So that way, now I have nothing in my way. And I sat on my couch for like 6 hours. Finally, I go, okay, you know what? Go to the gym. And at the gym, I can stream another episode. And so that was my whole incentive. And so then I came back home and watched the last one. Yeah. I was going out of town for the weekend. Like, I had to be done with Stranger Things.
There was no way. Insane.
Oh, yeah.
Like, why do you feel that you have to be that plugged into the show of the moment? Because I know that's the way you are with The Walking Dead, with Game of Thrones when it was on. I mean, you're very on top. Is it just on top of it?
Well, Stranger Things, I just happened to adore. And because I was so excited and it's been so long since we got new episodes and it was a holiday and I had time to kill. And I know myself, like I am a binge watcher. I will pull the one more episode and it is just me and a dog. So I don't have kids that are like, hey, are you going to feed us anytime soon? Or, you know, like, I mean,
you have a dog that scratches on the door and says, and that
was
now.
The first thing I did was get him walked. So I was like, all right, now we could just settle in for this. And it's, yeah, I love television and I love good television. And that is, look, just how I am. It's how I've always been. So I want to be right there with it. And because I was going out of town for the weekend, I hated the idea that I would have to stay off Twitter and stay away from hashtags. So I knew I'd be busy and wouldn't be able to finish it. So that was it. July 4th, I had to get it done.
You know, I never even thought about Twitter. Yeah. I never even thought about staying off of Twitter for spoilers.
Yeah.
I need to hurry up and watch the show.
Yeah, I mean.
Because I'm still on social media.
Yeah.
And people are starting to like, yeah, I mean, it's times, the spoiler time is gone.
How much, what is that? It's been a week now. For a show that's been out like that, like how they release the whole season all at once, what is the spoiler rule? Is it a 1 week rule?
I think so.
Because it's been 8 days. So in theory, you could have watched one episode a day. And I think that's a reasonable viewing period. So I feel that today was kind of the end of spoiler embargo.
Okay, so can we all agree that I have until Monday morning? When we walk in Monday morning, I mean, the spoilers can fly?
I'm
totally cool with that.
Technically tomorrow, but you know what? We're going to give you a little grace.
We're going to be nice.
Because there are some people that have lives and some people that have things going on, and it's not just me that has not seen all 8 episodes.
I know, but you should.
I will. I mean, for sure.
And when you
I
do, then you'll act like everyone else has seen it too.
Exactly.
We know you are.
Okay. Well, too bad. So sad if they didn't.
Hey, we had a great time with Aaron Watson when he came in. His new album is called Red Bandana, and it is great. I've got it. In fact, I got it right here. I'm looking at it. Right
I got there. One too.
Right there. I don't know what I'm going to do with the CD, but I got it. So I have a CD. It's like someone handed me a corn grinder, you know, like back in the day, people used to grind corn.
Oh, like you're gonna make mash out of it?
I'm like, oh, thanks. But it is really good. He's wrote every song on here, and there's a lot of songs, like 20 songs, 19?
20 songs for 20 years.
That's right. And so we had a great sit down with him, so we'll play that for you For the rest of the podcast.
It's coming up after the jingle.
Yeah, after the jingle. Anything else?
I think we pretty much, by the way, Delta, fix your stuff. Hook a brother up.
Hashtag bring back boppers.
But what about the peanut allergies?
That's on you.
There's a lot of peanut allergies.
I want to sit on my couch and eat boppers.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Again, stick around for the Aaron Watson thing after the jingle. If you're watching on Facebook, you need to actually go listen to the podcast now so you can hear the rest of that interview.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
Hey, we are excited because one of our friends, Aaron Watson, has got a new album out. It's called Red Bandana. Actually, it doesn't even have a name on it. It just has a picture of a red bandana. Figure it out. You figure it out.
Did you try to spark a war with the Bloods over this?
It has caused a little bit of controversy. I'm going to
read
you guys a review
of
this record.
Oh, I thought Bubba was joking about the,
let me
the
just,
Bloods and Crips.
Let me give you a review by a guy that goes by the name Dankosaurus.
Ooh, Dankosaurus.
Okay.
In the description, he puts, not a gangster album. And he says, I thought this gonna be a blood anthem album.
Gotcha.
To find out it's some redneck bleep and
yeah, but he bought it.
But here's the nice part. At least at the end, he put LOL.
Oh, yeah, right. That
but
makes
he
it okay.
bought it. And that's another thing.
Yeah,
don't
you
forget
bought
that.
It, sucker.
Yeah, and also this. He's going to probably listen to it more than once. He's going to be showing his friends, and what's going to happen is we like what we know.
Yeah.
So he's going to be going, listen to this song, this legend song. And then by the fourth or fifth friend, he's going, man, you got to listen to this legend song. This is great.
Man,
this album is great.
Hey, put that up.
This
like,
guy,
Aaron,
is amazing.
He tracked through some of this. We were listening to where he came in, and I was just like, Bubba and I were like, golly. For one thing, Aaron wrote every one of these songs, which is the first time since Alan Jackson did it back in the day with, decade ago or something?
Yeah, it's like 11 years.
I wrote this song for my dad.
I'm just playing this one because I was just talking about it. It's called Legends. It's hot.
Willie's riding shotgun, Waylon's sleeping in the back. Billy Graham is preaching about Jesus Christ with the man in black. Lennon's talking politics, Dylan's mumbling on his phone. Old Christofferson says, turn it up, Merle, that's a Tom Petty song.
This is your own We Didn't Start the Fire.
Yeah, it is.
That's so cool.
I love this verse, it's pretty cool.
No, Elvis ain't dead. Just got tired of the velvet and the press. He's hanging out with Emmy Lou and Graham Parsons on a boat out in Key West. And speaking of Memphis, the best blues band in town. Please every Tuesday night, Stevie Ray and Jimmy tune it up and burn it down. Just like my heroes, I'm as free as the wind, singing those old songs just like they did back then. Some are here and some are gone. Old habits die hard, legends live on and on. Somebody said they saw Janis Joplin and Kurt Cobain.
Such a good song.
Thanks, brother.
I was shocked that country radio wasn't about us. There's a song on here called Country Radio, and I was like, oh, man, he's going to be ripping us. He's going to be talking about how bad our show is, whatever. You know, it's the way society is nowadays.
You guys are the only ones that like me.
Well,
I'm not going to rip you.
Yeah, right.
Well, I was going to say there's everything that we do nowadays, we all take offense to it. We all go, oh, they're talking about me.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got to get offended. So I put that song on, ready to get offended. And then I listened and I was like, oh, what a sweet, sweet song.
You know, my mom, it's been a couple years ago. It's when I wrote this song. We were just talking about where I'm at in my life with my wife and the kids and the struggles and life is crazy. And I was talking about when I grew up and my mom looked at me and just being a mom, she said, you know, there's some things that I regret. I wish I would have been more this or more that. She goes, I hope that we gave you a good home. She goes, I hope we gave you a good raising. And I said, Mom, oh my gosh. I said, Mama, you gave me the best childhood. I know that there were fights and sometimes you and Dad weren't getting along. I go, but I don't really remember those things. I remember y'all making up and I remember y'all always loving us. I go, I didn't even know that. Like, my mom was like, well, we were really having trouble just paying the mortgage during those years. And mm-hmm. I was like, I didn't know.
Yep.
You know, so I wrote Country Radio from a child's perspective of just like
watching your parents.
Watching my parents. And it's just like country radio, people are like, well, you know, what, why are you in country music? I'm like, well, country radio.
Yeah.
It's what made
watching mom and dad dance. Yeah. I mean, it's such a cool song. You know, I think we really have to dive into this album because there's some good, crazy good stuff on it.
Thank you.
That I would like to talk about more. And obviously, since we have you here, we're going to take advantage
of
it.
We're going to do that.
Well, I love it. I'm here for you guys.
It's called Red Bandana. Aaron Watson's our guest. We're going right back in just a second. Hang on. Aaron Watson in the studio is with us, and the new album's called Red Bandana. Definitely.
Not Red Banana.
Did I? No, not Red Banana, Red Bandana.
Bandana, okay.
You know, coming off of... this is a great one.
Do you know which one? This is the instrumental, right?
The instrumental. This is called El Comienzo del Viaje.
Which means?
I don't know. Literally means I don't know. No, it means the beginning of the ride.
It's just, isn't this cool? This is like, this should be your walk-up music.
It's what we come out to.
Is it?
The show, yeah. When the show kicks off, this is it right here.
People are going crazy. Is it weird to hear it without the crowd going nuts?
It's weird to hear it because I wrote all these trumpet parts with my mouth trumpet. Like literally going... I wrote all the parts doing that. I have the demo. I'll send it to you. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. My kids love it.
And so, this takes me back. This is why I think people like you, Aaron, is that you have a traditional country feel, but it's also kind of Western. I mean, this is a Western movie soundtrack. I mean, you listen to that.
Are you putting the Western back in country and Western?
Boy, we're trying.
You'll make my mama happy.
Yeah. It's cinematic. It's got that spaghetti Western thing
yes.
going on.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Watson.
That goes into this, my favorite song.
Yeah, this one goes out to the dreamer, always out there aiming high. Don't you let them clip your wings or say that you can't fly. This one goes out to the loser, losing time and time again and time again. Keeps on believing that someday they're gonna
win.
That's
the first song of the new set.
Nobody knows your name, nobody knows your face. Everybody counts you out long before you start that race. You can let them place their bets, let them laugh and drink their wine. Let them eat their words when you're first to the finish line. Today's your day in the sun, you're rolling like a young gun. Now it's your time to ride, let your dark horse run. They can't measure your heart, they can't tear you apart. You're finally catching your stride, let your dark horse run. Through the fire, barbed wire, you're a runaway train, there's no turning back. This one goes out to the girls, go show the
you've
world
got
you
to start wearing like back. Spurs and chaps and everything. On stage.
And nothing That's, else.
And nothing else.
Yes.
Just like at home.
Dude.
Just like at home.
So when you get like, because I know it's wild for you. It's, it, you know, you're a rock star. And then you get home and you get out to the farm and you're just kind of like your dad and husband. And
village
fix,
idiot.
Fixer upper.
Yeah.
And you do all that. Is it hard for you to, seriously, from a mental standpoint, I don't think people understand. When everyone is telling you you're great, it's hard to walk out of that and not just walk into a room and kind of go, hey, who wants a selfie? It's hard. It is. It's hard to get out of that mode.
It's hard to go back to being normal sometimes.
It is. It's like the not only just the different situation where you're on stage and there's thousands of people going crazy. It's also my time is flipped. You know, it's like. I'm staying up. I'm finishing shows at midnight, staying up for 2 hours doing the meet and greet. And then when I get home, everything's flipped back upside down where the kids are getting up early for school. So it's that time flip that really gets me. I mean, and it's just the other things of like dealing with real life things. Like you know, it, I think I've told the whole world, I'm an independent artist. There's no major record label here. I'm never going to sign a record deal, ever. They don't even talk to me about it anymore. But I'm out here. I'm not just the singer. I'm the songwriter. I'm the publisher. I'm the record executive. I mean, like, I'm the leading salesman for my songs.
There's no, who's going to sell you better than you?
Yeah, not and true. If this thing flops, it's all on me. I mean, I'm literally writing checks out of my bank account. So there's a lot of a stressful time, and I'm thinking about promoting this thing and doing this. My daughter calls me yesterday, 16 hours, we're playing all these shows, and she goes, Dad, and she's 9, and that girl has me wrapped. I do whatever she says. Yeah. She goes, Dad, when are you coming home? I go, I'll be home on Friday for a show, and then I'll be gone again, but I'll be home on Sunday for a good week. She goes, because we need to talk.
Uh-oh.
And I go, yeah, is everything all right?
The brakes are on.
Whoa, girl, what? She's 9 years old, and she's talking to me like a grown woman. I go, what are we going to talk about? She goes, guinea pigs.
Yeah.
And I went, aren't you getting a puppy in Salt Lake City? She goes, I know I am. But if I'm going to be a veterinarian someday, I need animals. And I said, okay, well, if you and mom could just like chill out for the next week while I put this album out, I'll figure out the puppy guinea pig situation. So as you're asking me, how do I flip things around?
Yeah.
I go from being like,
yeah, rock this, star.
Yeah. To the village idiot the next day.
Yeah. Dad, have to talk. We got to talk about guinea pigs. It really is hard to balance that.
Two different worlds, two different people.
It blows my mind sometimes, but I also love it. I do love it. I sometimes am about to go out of my mind, and then I just sit back and go, it's pretty amazing, my little girl, that I'm just her daddy. And it's like, she doesn't care that I'm out here trying to defy the music industry by charting albums independently. She does not care.
Nope.
Girlfriend is concerned about a guinea pig.
Well, the new album, it's called Red Bandana. It's by Aaron Watson, and we'll come back talk. I want to talk a little bit about the business side of it, because to me, that's fascinating what you've done.
Well, I'll tell you the business side of it. Go buy the album Red Bandana from Aaron Watson, because his daughter has a guinea pig habit that she's got to support.
That's right.
Yes.
All right. We'll come back more with Aaron next. Aaron Watson, the new album is called Red Bandana, and it is out now. Make sure you get it. Hey, Patrick, I wanted to ask you a question that has to do. Let's pretend that Aaron's not sitting literally right next to you.
All right.
And my hand's on your knee.
No, it is. Don't do that.
Sorry.
And it's
is it a warm hand or a cold hand?
No, it's warm.
Now that he has a beard, he's different.
I got a butt of mine. I got a butt of mine.
Beards? Are you afraid that your beards are going to get locked
together? That's the problem.
Velcro.
When we hugged earlier, we kind of got locked up a little bit.
So I'm really fascinated in the fact that of how, because you know Aaron doesn't have a record deal. He doesn't. He's doing it all on his own. He always says, "I'm never ever gonna sign a record deal." But can you think of another artist who has had this level of success that Aaron's had without the help of a record label? I can't
in this format for sure. I would say
the closest would be Pat Green, but the rest of America didn't discover Pat until after he had a record deal.
And then that went away. Yeah. And then you could say our friend Cody Johnson, he was having substance, not this level on his own, and then now he's got a major label deal, so I don't know.
Why would you ever? Is there a number?
No, you know what? I've run my mouth so much.
I know.
That there's not a number.
Really?
There's not a number.
Is it
so? In other words, it's pride that even if they came at you with the number that you know in your heart is the number, even if they came to you with $1 billion, I'm just throwing that out.
That is a great number.
That's a big number.
But I'm just saying.
I think we found his number.
Okay, I'm gonna be like on Austin Powers. We're like, I need $1 trillion.
Well, I'm just saying, though. So is it more of a pride thing? You've always said, I will never, ever, ever sign a record deal. I'm doing this all on my own. That now, no matter what they throw at you, you're just going to keep doing it on your own?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you feel that there is a something that has to do with the fact that you have this feeling that has to do with fans? Meaning, if you were to do a label that people would kind of go sell out.
I would
he's big time now.
You know what? I would truly let my fans down. I stay independent because I need to stay true to them. You know, when we charted the album Underdog number one and it became the first independent album in the history of country music to chart number one, that was because of my fans. I can never truly repay them for that, what they gave me. And it's like I've given them my word. And the other thing about it is what is a number? I mean, seriously, when's enough enough? I was going to be a high school baseball coach. And if I was a high school baseball coach, I would still be really happy. I live in West Texas. The price of living's great. What is a number? People pay me to go play music for them. That almost is
ridiculous. Number. That's the number right there.
It's ridiculous.
It's the way we feel about doing the radio show. People, you know, we're not doing manual labor. We're all having a good time, and you're getting paid for it.
There's no Maseratis or Bugattis or Bugattis or Lamborghinis at my house. I have a 2000 Jeep Wrangler that I got for $4,500, and that is the love of my life. That's all I need. I'm that simple.
I'm glad your wife's not listening right now.
Yeah. Ooh.
That is the love of his life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this lamp.
And this
lamp. And these boots.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. She doesn't mind. And everyone always asks me, what is it that separates an independent artist from a major label artist? And I said, well, this is the facts. And I say this jokingly when I say all the proceeds from this album, down to the last penny, go right into my wife's purse. But that's the honest to God truth. Music's not an industry to me. It's the family business. The other thing is that the first 10 years of my career, I was told that I wasn't good enough and that I didn't have what it takes. Well, now that I'm selling all these records and we're selling all these tickets around the nation, of course now they would want a piece of the pie. But that's not like unconditional love. Mm-hmm. It's truly, if you break it down, it's like, oh,
yeah.
Where were you? Now you like me. But the fact of the situation is my dad raised me on Willie and Waylon and with this independent spirit. And I don't want to play the game. It's like, I'm here. I'm going to keep doing my thing. You know, I'll go to radio stations and we're trying to convince everyone to play the new single. And I look at them, I'm like, it's a hit. Now, if you're not going to play me because I'm an independent artist, then just say that. But you can't say that my career is not dependable. You can't say that you can't count on me to continue coming back to your market and playing shows for your fans. Because the fact of the situation is that I look on your wall and there's all these 8x10s of all these artists. And I'm like, where'd that guy go? Where'd that guy go? And all those guys that I'm like, where did that guy go? They were all really talented. But because some suit at the top of some label didn't like them or didn't get it, they dropped them. Because that's the one thing that major labels lack is artists. They don't let the artist grow.
Mm-hmm. Or better yet, some new guy at the top of the label comes in. The CEO moves on and they get a new CEO.
Yeah.
And everyone who was in already his idea, gone.
You know, I just can't even imagine at this point in my career having somebody tell me, well, you can't, at a label, well, you can't sing that. Well, we don't like this album.
How dare you put an instrumental on your album?
And that's the thing. That's
crazy.
That's the thing we did with this. I always go the other direction of what they think I should do. You know, when Underdog went number one, they said, hey, if you're going to capitalize off this moment, you got to get away from the Texas thing. So on the next record, Vaquero, which means cowboy, we put a Texas flag on the cover. after Vaquero had its top 40 radio hits, everyone has assumed that I'm going to go more that route. Well, what I did is I wrote the album, and the first song on the album is The Ghost of Guy Clark. It doesn't have a chorus. It's the most non-radio-friendly song on the album. And then it goes into an instrumental, which is not a radio song. So right off the bat, I mean, there are radio hits dispersed throughout this album, but there's more depth than anything else. Like, I wrote this. There's 20 songs for the 20 years we've been doing this. And I really feel like as a songwriter, I'm catching my stride. And, man, I don't know. I just feel so blessed to get to do this for a living that I'll take the number.
You know what I like about Aaron is that he can just talk and talk and talk.
The number. Here's the number. Let me tell you the number. Let me tell you.
See, he's going.
The number.
What's the number?
Here's the thing. I won a BMI award in the fall.
Explain what that is for somebody.
That's an award for songwriters who had, I had one of the most played songs in country radio last year.
Okay.
And they gave out 40 of them. And when the other artists got up there, they got up there with four or five people from their label, and then four or five people from their publishing company, and then each song had like three or four writers, so there were the three or four writers, and then each writer had his publishing company come up
there. So huge posses for every song.
There's 20, 30 people up there when they get an award. When they call my name, I was the only dude up there because I wrote the song. It's my record label, and it's my publishing company. And I got up there, and I was like, wow, it's just me up here. And I got down off the stage, and I had a young man come up to me afterwards. And he said, hey, he goes, I just wanted to thank you for your career and for you staying independent. He said, I've had every label in town tell me that I'm not good enough. He goes, but when I see you get up there, an independent artist, he goes, it gives me hope that I can still achieve my dreams. And that's when I realized that I like being the people's champ. I like being that independent artist that shows all the other independent artists that you can do this without a major record deal. So, you know, I'm just...
Are you playing him off like this? No,
he needs, some echo on his voice.
The music silenced me.
And so what else, Aaron? So, tell us some more.
No, you know, don't encourage him, D.
You know, I'm just telling you.
In the instrumental, I'm just saying. He was on a roll.
You need to go buy this record. It will change your life.
Okay.
That was good.
It's called Red Bandana. It is by Aaron Watson. And, dude, go get it. It is so good. We're so proud of you.
Dude, thank you, guys.
Thanks for not selling out.
You bet. Seriously. You bet.
And
think about this. What kind of grief would you guys give me if I walked in after I signed to whatever you... Yankee Doodle Records.
I wouldn't give you any grief.
I signed into Yankee Doodle Records.
Most people have a price.
Yeah. I would say
no price for
I would
me.
Say that's cool, Aaron. Can we ride in the new car you bought?
We want to jump. Well, I want to drive your Bugatti.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Let's talk about this. I've already said all the proceeds from this record goes right into my wife's purse. If I signed a deal, that's just going to go in her purse, too. I might as well.
That's right.
I might as well. I don't get paid regardless. I at least should get to keep my pride and swagger.
That's right.
That is true.
Aaron Watson, get it. It's called Red Bandana. Thank you, brother.
Love you, boys.
See you, man.